Partly for Pibedinosov, this was a matter of personality. People who knew Pibedinosov were struck by his deep pessimism, his misanthropy in looking at life. As an illustration, here is one of his diary entries. This was from New Year's of 1875. He wrote, "Why rejoice when another drop has disappeared from the cup of life, and one can hear a deep echo from the dark chasm in which it fell?" He did have some pleasures as a person. He liked to write very gloomy verses about twilight and dusk. He adored the Orthodox liturgy. Above all, he would tell people, because of its majestic and moving evocations of Christ's suffering. And he particularly liked funerals and wrote enthusiastically in his diary about how beautiful and moving they were. And in some ways, he wanted others to feel and live the way he did. He suggested at one point that dances ought to be banned from Russia, balls, fancy banquets, which, as you know, were proliferating. And this misanthropy wasn't just personal, I should say, it was also philosophical. Like most 19th century conservatives, though one might suggest with a particular Russian intensity, he had an extremely dismal view of humanity. This was more than just a simple denial of the primacy of reason. He considered man to be, by nature, weak, vicious, these are his words, weak, vicious, worthless, and rebellious. And in fact, at one point he expressed absolute amazement that human beings had managed to even survive as long as they had, given how terrible they were. You can see this man is the total opposite in his worldview of Tolstoy, and it's worth remembering that it is Pobedonosov, as head of the Orthodox Church, that had Tolstoy excommunicated. I should add that in addition to these general flaws that all human beings shared, he noticed that Russians had some extra flaws. They were inert, lazy, dishonest, greedy, power-hungry, and of course, drunken, though he admitted they were also very friendly and good-natured. In the face of these convictions about human nature, he looked at the future and saw only misery and error. In his words, from a letter elaborating on the famous phrase from Ecclesiastes, a book he loved, he wrote, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All fades, all vanishes, all disintegrates, all deceives." And against this background, Pobedonosov saw only three institutions that could save Russia: the family, the Orthodox Church, and the state. You can see here a version of the traditional idea of official nationality, or orthodoxy, autocracy, and the uniqueness of the Russian people, nationality. The family, for Pobedonosov, had the job of repressing the evil instincts in the child, just the opposite of Tolstoy's idea of education. The family must teach obedience, and he had the church instruct parents to do just that. Stifle children's imagination, it's a very dangerous thing, he said. Stifle their love of learning, it leads them in dangerous ways. What you need were skills, not critical ways of thinking. The church, of course, also had to teach all of its parishioners obedience, and he was the head of the church, remember. It also was to provide that spiritual and ideological cement that would hold society together, that would hold these weak people together and create some stability. But of greatest importance for Pobedonosov, especially in Russia, was the autocratic state, the very embodiment of this truth in his mind that human beings, that men, not laws, must rule. Ideally, this was to be a rule of a patriarchal nature. The Tsar should be not only absolute, but wise and moral and loving, and of course, advised by wise men like himself. And the people, of course, were expected to respond like ideal children with love and unquestioning obedience. Now, Pobedonosov was a very smart man. He admitted that as a result of all these human frailties, the autocratic system was never as perfect as he wished it were. But every other conceivable political system, he argued, was worse. Most of all, he feared democracy, because what does democracy do above all but give free rein to man's worst instincts, to their reason? Clearly, then, this was not a confident ideology. It emerged from a faith and tradition. It had gotten Russia so far, after all. But it also emerged from a sort of emotional and philosophical fear and loathing, a fear about the future, especially a modern future with greater freedom and liberty for individuals, and, of course, a loathing for human nature itself. In many ways, these were the ideas and sentiments that would inspire the autocracy to its very end. And one could even argue these were the ideas in the hands of powerful people like Pobedonosov and of rulers like Alexander III and then Nicholas II that were bringing that end all the closer. Next time, we'll look at Alexander's son, Nicholas II, who presided over that final end, at his ideals and idealism about power and about Russia, about his faith and his fears.